feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Today, we are in our final study in the book of 1 Samuel. We started looking at this story on our last program, and we saw that this final chapter talks about the death of Saul. Saul's life has been a tragedy. He started off well as the first king of Israel, but he soon turned his back on the Lord and had one failure after another. His life now ends in a battle with the Amalekites, who nail his headless body to the wall of a city. But his body is rescued by the men of Jabesh Gilead. Why would these guys do this? It is because of something that Saul had done for them about 40 years earlier. At that time, the people of Jabesh Gilead were about to be brutalized by a man named Nahash. When Saul heard of this, he sprung into action. Let's now join Pastor John as he recounts the story.
And it says, Saul was moved with compassion and a righteous indignation. He takes a bull. He chops the bull up into 12 parts and sends a piece of the bull to the 12 tribes, similar to what the Levite did years before. And he said, if anybody doesn't join me in rescuing the men of Jabesh Gilead from the snake, the serpent Nahash, you're going to be like this bull, dead meat. You see, that's no bull, Loney. You come, or you're going to be chopped up and taken apart. 330,000 men show up. And Saul marched all night with that massive army of 330,000 men. Marched all night to Jabesh Gilead up north on the east side of the Jordan River. And of course, delivered them, rescued them. These men, Jabesh Gilead, never forgot that. 40 years earlier, Saul marched all night to rescue them. When Saul could have said, I've got my own problems. The people don't even accept me as king. And those guys are way up there in the northern part and they're on the wrong side of the river anyway. Hey, they made their bed. They didn't cross over the Jordan. And they have a history of being kind of troublemakers anyway. So, hey, let them sit there. Let them stew in the pot that they're in. But Saul didn't do that. As a young man, as a new king, not yet received by the nation, he mobilized the people and marched. And the men of Jabesh remembered it. And the Bible says in our text, the valiant men of Jabesh Gilead said, now, Saul, 40 years later, he's in trouble. His body is pinned to the wall. And they're spitting on him and they're making fun of him. And we're going to go and rescue his corpse. And that's what they did. Interesting, folks. Interesting. Because you too are like the men of Jabesh Gilead in this story. How so? You're valiant. What do you mean? You too have marched all night, or at least marched this morning, from Medford, or Grants Pass, or Northern California, or wherever you've come from. You got in your car on a beautiful spring day when everybody else would say, why aren't you mowing your lawn or at the lake or doing something outside? But you made your way to here. To do what we do day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. What's that? Like the men of Jabesh Gilead who were valiant, we remember. That's our king. We remember what he did for us 40 years ago. That's our king that's pinned to the tree, pinned to the wall. Decapitated, spat at, mocked, made fun of. He was the one that rescued us, and we haven't forgotten. So we come here today because our king was pinned to the wall. Pinned to a wooden cross, the tree called Calvary. Why? 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 He was worse than Saul. You say, but John, Saul was being judged by God. Saul was a man that was rebellious and disobeyed and went into witchcraft. And John, we've been studying his story. It's awful what Saul did. It's awful who Jesus was, our king. Huh? What are you saying? The Bible says he who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He, Jesus, our king, took upon the sins of Saul, of Osama bin Laden, of Adolf Hitler, of you, of me too, the sins of all humanity through all history. He embodied it. He became sin. It was ugly what happened to him. And God the Father, even as he looked at Saul in Saul's rebellious, sinful condition and had to judge him. So now Jesus takes my sin, all of it, and yours too, and the sins of all humanity, and God judges his son himself. Jesus is pinned to the wall, naked, not a shred of clothing on him. We have pictures in our Bibles or pictures in storybooks that show him suffering slightly. That's not what happened. The agony was unbelievable and his humiliation was unspeakable as he hung there naked like Saul. They spat at Saul and made fun of Saul. So too with our king. We remember what our king did for us. He rescued me. My king rescued me. And I remember now, my king who rescued me, my king who rescued you too, our king. Now, others are forgetting about him, don't have time for him. But we see our king. That's why we're here, service after service, session after session, to say, this we do in remembrance of you, Lord. Naked, you were hanging on the wall, the tree of Calvary. Decapitated. What? I didn't know that. Yeah, he was decapitated spiritually. Where was his body? He's the head. His disciples, the body of Christ, on that day when he was pinned to the wall, pinned to the tree, where was his disciples? They had all run. There was separation. Only one, John, hung around. The rest all ran away. There was separation, the head and the body. There was humiliation. He hung there nakedly. People mocked him, made fun of him. But interestingly enough, even though he was burned, the wrath of God, the fire of God's righteous indignation was poured out upon the Son. He took the heat. He took the hell for me. Yet, even as our story, this king, this Saul in his saga, who became sin, rebellious, iniquitous, evil to the core. Look at him, naked, headless, mocked, humiliated, burned, just like our king. But it says concerning Saul, they took his bones and they buried them. Our king, even though he hung on the cross, and was beat up beyond recognition, it says not one of his bones was broken to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken previously. And they took Saul's burnt ashes. The bones were then pulled away, and they took the bones and they buried the bones under a tree, we are told in our text. If you ever go to Jerusalem, I hope you do. If you ever go to Israel, I hope you can. You'll go to the Garden Tomb and you'll understand. Right there, in the same place where he, Jesus, was pinned to the cross, pinned to the tree, he was buried. Just a stone's throw away, under the shadow of the tree of the cross of Calvary. The tomb is right there, right next to where the cross on which he hung was located. It's an amazing thing to me. And you are these who we read in our story who say, others don't remember. Others might not care. But I will come to the Lord's table time and again, week after week, day after day, morning by morning, to say, I remember. Your body was humiliated, separated, burned with the heat of God's righteous indignation. Bones buried under the tree. That's you, Jesus. And I remember. And I am here to say thank you because the serpent Nahash was out to get me, because the serpent, the snake, was saying, I'm going to blind you and keep you in a blinded, weakened condition all of your life. You're never going to have a successful fight. I'm going to see to it, Nahash said to me. The serpent, the snake, the devil said to you, to me, to us, I'm going to keep you blinded. I'm going to make you incapacitated. You're going to be in submission to me. And we were in big trouble, folks. Do you know that? You were in big trouble. You were blind as a bat spiritually. And the snake was calling the shots and pulling your strings and manipulating you in ways that we didn't realize. We didn't have a clue, but our king came to our rescue and said, enough of that. And mercy and compassion filled his heart, and he marches from heaven to earth to do battle in our place, to take on the serpent, Nahash, and the Ammonites. What mercy, what grace. So here I am today. I'm always around here. You are too. To say, Lord, others might not remember, others might not care, but we of Jabesh Gilead, remember what you did when you marched all night and came to this world to save us. And how 43, 45, 47, whatever the number might be, years, days, or 40 seconds ago for someone, perhaps, when you finally see, the Lord did that for me. Yeah. Our King marched. Our King nailed to the wall. Our King humiliated that we might be forgiven and set free. Now listen, in light of that, what ought we to do? How ought we to be? Did you know our Lord Jesus, the Master of Mercy, our gracious King, our Rescuer, he says to us, here's what I want you to do. Only three things the Lord ever said, I want you to learn. Only three times the Lord ever said, I want you to learn. One, Matthew 11, when he said, learn of me and you'll find rest in your souls. Two, Matthew 24, when he said, learn a parable of the fig tree, which deals with, as most of you know, Israel, Bible prophecy, the end times. Learn of me. Learn of Israel and Bible prophecy. The third thing he said in Matthew chapter 9, now learn mercy. learn what this means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. See, here's the thing. This is what you got to know. This is what I want you to see before you pack up and go. Listen to me. Give me your attention. Tune in. Listen up. Take note. Saul, with all of his messy story, with all of his failures and foibles and flaws, which are innumerable, one thing he did do, he showed mercy to the men of Jabesh-Gilead 40 years earlier. Jesus said this, mercy, learn this, get this, know this, study this, be schooled in this. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. It'll come back. Even if you're as terrible as a Saul, as messed up as he was merciful to the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And now 40 years later, when he is naked and humiliated in a way that he didn't want to be, guess who shows him mercy? The men that he was merciful to. It comes back. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, don't you understand that whatever is measured out, it will be measured back to you. And he was talking about in Luke 6, not money, he was talking about mercy. If you give out mercy, it'll be given back to you. Men will give to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give to your bosom. What? If you are merciful, not critical, not cynical, not analytical, finding fault with, what does he mean by that? I wonder. Or why did she say that? Boy, may that be stripped from me and ripped from you. Because whatever you give out is going to come back, guarantee. If I choose, even if I'm as wrong as a Saul, if I choose to be merciful, Jesus said, be an expert in that, because if you're merciful, you will obtain mercy when you need it, and you will. When you're exposed, and you're going to be. When you're off the wall, or on the wall, as is the case with Saul, you need mercy. It's going to come back. To whatever degree you gave out, it's going to come back. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. It might not happen right away. Don't expect a bonsai tree to grow the minute you're planting it. Folks, are you awake? Don't expect a bonsai tree to grow the minute you're planting it. A bonsai tree to grow the minute you're plant. Folks. Don, would you explain it to Janice, please? Yes. You're saying, what did he mean by that? Don't expect a... Anyway. I showed mercy. Hey, it'll come back. It might not be the next day, but when you need it the most, there it'll be. Rooted. Grown. Covering. Shading you. Because you showed mercy. To who? Listen to what Jesus said. Learn mercy. Referring to Hosea 6, also to Micah 6. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you. But to... what? Do justly. To love mercy. To walk humbly with your God. Huh? Do justly. Yeah, I'm concerned about... No, you do justly. Not why aren't they doing justly? Why isn't he doing justly? And why isn't she? No, it's you do justly. You do what's just and right. Do justly and then love mercy. Everybody else gets mercy. I'm to... do justly. I'm to live in the way that I know I'm supposed to, but then I'm to show mercy to everybody around me. to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Micah 6:8. Why? Because it'll come back to me. Why? Because I was shown so much mercy. I don't want to be like that lady with the big black Bible, the elderly gal with big Bible in her hand as she sat there on the bus. The bus stops and in comes a unkempt drunk man, kind of staggers down the aisle and plops right down next to her with her big black Bible. And she looks him up and down and smells the alcohol on his breath and sees that he's in sort of a drunken state and said, "I've got news for you, mister. You are headed straight to hell." And he hears that and stands up and shouts out, "Oh no, I'm on the wrong bus again." "You're headed straight for hell," we say. "You shouldn't act like that. Who do you think you are? Why are you up to that?" Forget about it. Point the finger at yourself. Do justly. Love mercy. Why? It'll come back to you. Secondly, because God has been very merciful with me and you. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We're the ones that are on the wrong side of the Jordan River, folks. We're the ones that are the guys that didn't come to the fight like the men of Jabesh-Gilead didn't when they were supposed to. We're the ones that should be forgotten about. We're the ones that should be kicked out. We're the ones that... But that's not what the Lord did with me. It's not what the Lord does with you. He marched to our rescue. So what do you say as we end this service? What do you say that we do what we did? We remember our King and we'll march here time and time again, or wherever the bread and the body are offered, wherever the King is remembered, we'll be in that place constantly because we remember. Others might not, but we will. And secondly, and we'll go, not only remembering what our King did, but repeating the lesson of mercy. Just to show mercy to everybody. Because I'm going to need it. I know. And I am a constant recipient of it. I know. I'm going to be like the men of Jabesh-Gilead. I'm going to be like Saul was in his better times, in his early days. Let's say we're going to be people of mercy. What do you say?
Yes, let's do that. Let's be people of mercy. As this story illustrates, God has been so merciful to us. Let's be those who remember God's mercy and repeat His mercy. You will be eternally glad that you did.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Most of us desire to spend more time in prayer, just talking with the Lord and hearing from Him. But we often struggle in this area of prayer. In order to help us have a more consistent and effective prayer life, Pastor John has a book called Praying Through the Tabernacle. This book shows us a model of prayer that is based on the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a very practical tool for everyone who desires an intimate walk with the Lord. You may order Praying Through the Tabernacle from the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.